This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We are going to Raleigh tomorrow, as you well know. So enjoy the basement view today because we will be at Carter Finley Stadium bright and early tomorrow morning.
All right. Let's we got to get the new member of our ACC Network football team up here. You know, we had quarterbacks. We had defensive folks. We have linemen. Packers said it going to break. We needed speed. We needed somebody to separate on the perimeter and in the return game.
Yep.
So what did we do? We went and got Eddie Royal lined up. Eddie, good morning. Welcome to welcome to early morning ACC Network. Not this all ACC nighttime jazz, man. You got to get up for this show.
No, I love it. I already had my coffee, got in my workout, so I'm ready to go.
Well, we're one for two. actually, I'm 0 for 2.
Yeah, you're 0 for 2.
I like it that way. Yeah, no coffee or workout. But nevertheless, we got this little ACC tilt Friday night now. Hokies and Heels. And we really want you to kind of walk us through, literally, walk us through what's it like as a player when you're at Virginia Tech. And you get, whether it's a top 10 matchup like you got coming up with number 10 North Carolina rolling into town or whatever the situation is. Enter Sandman's one of the great entrances in all of sport. What's it like when you know the anticipation of the walk, you get to the tunnel, and then crank up the music and let's go? Well, from your perspective, just kind of, if you can, just for all of us that kind of wish we could do it once, just to see what that feels like.
It's that feeling of being a kid on Christmas morning, just that excitement of wanting to get out there and get ready to go play. And then you walk through the tunnel and you just start to hear the fans and everything going. Your heart's beating so fast. And then they start playing. They start jumping up and down. And we all run out and slap the stone. And then you just come out and it's a surreal moment. It's nothing that I could put into words. I just tried to take it all in every chance that I got to just get out there and try to get ready for a football game, but also enjoy the moment and the atmosphere that I was in.
Eddie, when you zip through there, all right, place is going nuts, fireworks, if it's a night game, all that great stuff. How long does it take, though? Okay, that's done. Now we got to go play football. Because I got to figure the coin toss is probably an important thing, knowing whether or not we're going to get to touch it first or the defense goes out there and hopefully gets a three and out. I would think from a mental standpoint, the energy level, the adrenaline, you might need a little time just to get your breath.
It does. It does take a little while to get going after that because you got to refocus. I mean, you're so caught up in the excitement and the energy of the atmosphere that you got to think that, hey, I'm not here to cheer. I actually got to go play and put on a show for these guys. So it's an awesome feeling. It normally took me to get hit for the first time. Once I got hit and I felt that first contact, then I was ready to go.
All right. Here's the next. It's the only question I have about the whole deal. Do you actually hear the music when you run on the field? Do you hear the band?
Oh, yeah.
You do? Okay. Because I've often talked to guys who say that when the game is going on, they don't hear anything. The game is kind of in virtual silence to them. So I'm curious, when you have that kind of adrenaline rush and you take off through that tunnel, touch the Hokie Stone, run on the field, do you hear it? Do you hear it? Because sometimes, you know, the whole mentality kicks in, I guess.
Yeah, for me, I definitely heard it all. I was, like I said, I was taking in the moment. So it was almost like an out-of-body experience, but I was just still there in the moment. I could hear everything. I could make eye contact with fans. I was that locked in to trying to be engulfed in the whole atmosphere. But once you're playing on the field, nah, I don't hear anything. It's when I got the ball in my hands, everything goes silent. But when you come out of that stadium for the first time, you can't help but hear all of the fans. So it's definitely going to be a Virginia Tech advantage for coming out and playing and having them UNC in our home stadium.
All right, so we moved to this game Friday night. Where's your biggest concern for Virginia Tech against Carolina, Eddie?
It's got to be Sam Howell. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's a Heisman front runner. I know he's losing a lot of his weapons, but, I mean, this guy, he's got a lot of potential, looking like a first-round draft pick, so to be able to stop him is going to be number one. And so that's the main thing. That defense didn't get off to a great start last year. I know Justin Hamilton's going to get those guys going. Now that we've had spring ball and fall ball in to implement his defense, I think they're going to play a lot better.
You know, you mentioned you didn't hear anything. One of the reasons for that, Eddie, is because you were 3 feet by everybody. I mean, you were out there running. You're like, I was trying to defend you. No wonder why you didn't hear anything. You blew by everybody. Virginia Tech under Justin Fuente has averaged over 40 points a game against North Carolina. Now, granted, they did that last year and lost the game. These two have had some unbelievable matchups here the last couple of years. Well, what is it about Justin Fuente's offense that you think clicks against North Carolina?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it is. It'll be great to see. I think this team is different. You know, we got the running back position is going to be a toss up right now. We got two guys that can go in and run the ball, and I think we got a lot of weapons on the outside. Being able to get them the ball with jet sweeps and get the ball to them quickly to be able to make plays. But I really think the key to winning this game is don't get into a shootout with these guys. I mean, they got a lot of talent on their team. Ty Chandler coming over from Tennessee, I think he's going to be a great addition to that team. I would just try to play ball control football and keep it a low-scoring game, and hopefully they can slow down Sam Howell.
Boy, you're really going to put it on Amari Barno and Holyfield and some of these guys then. Shamari Conner, you're putting it on the defense, aren't you? You're going to go old school and put it on Coach Hamilton a little heavier than you led me to believe a minute ago.
I'm pretty sure Justin's not going to appreciate that, but that's my guy. I played for him when I was at Texas, so he'll understand. But I guess I'm an old-school Virginia Tech guy that wants him to play great on special teams and have one of the best defenses in the country and run the ball. So that was our recipe for success when I was there. Even being a receiver, of course, I wanted to throw the ball 50 times a game, but I knew for us to win, we had to control the clock and play good defense.
Well, that's the other part, too. That's what's great about having you on with us now on the network is you know what the quarterback depth chart looks like in this league. I mean, Sam Howell might be at the top, but he's not the only one by any stretch. Eddie, ultimately, though, the prowess of these quarterbacks is going to depend on the receivers, no matter whether it's Sam Howell, Kenny Pickett, De'Eriq King, DJ at Clemson. I mean, it's gonna be converted by the receivers, right?
Yeah, I think so. And one of my favorite receivers in the league is Zay Flowers. I mean, he's so exciting when he gets the ball in his hands. He can make plays. He does it all over the field, and he's a smaller guy like me, so maybe that's why I'm a little bit partial to him. But, yeah, the receivers in this league are top-notch. I've been impressed with the guys that I've been watching, so I'm excited to see him up close. And another guy that I love watching is Emeka Emezi. I mean, he's a big body, and nobody can really cover that guy one-on-one. So I think he's going to make a lot of plays for NC State this year.
Speaking of receivers, David Hale of ESPN.com says Virginia Tech has the best core of receivers in the league. Now, there's a lot to pick from. And this is a kind of a crazy question, given I'm talking to a former Virginia Tech wide receiver. Do you agree with David Hale that the Hokies have the best wide receiver core in the league? Putting you right on the spot.
Yeah, I'll say they have one of the best receiving cores in the league. It's tough. When you look at this conference, I mean, it's filled with so many different groups of guys that are deep throughout the position. But when you throw in a tight end position, and we're talking about pass catchers with James Mitchell involved with those guys, they're at the top of the bunch, if you ask me. Now it's just, can we get them the ball? What can we do with those guys? How can we get this offense rolling? So we have the talent now. It's just going about and putting up points and putting up a lot of yards.
It's going to be interesting. Trey Turner is a guy who, you know, at times last year still put on a show in this league, and quarterback was a little bit of an upheaval position at times in Blacksburg last year. Eddie, when we get to games like this, I mean, we're talking about Virginia Tech, Carolina. A week ago, Clemson, Georgia, any of these high-mark season-opening games, what's the run-up to them like for a guy who's playing, though? I mean, that's the thing about this. Mentality, physical, you want to be in shape, you want to be prepared to play, it's a brand new year. Can you overcook this a little bit, though, if you're not careful?
I think as a receiver coming in, and you really want to be ready to go. I mean, you got so much going on that you just want to go out, and especially a big game like this, you really want to put on the show. And as a team like Virginia Tech, I think this is a statement game for their season. They really want to show the type of team that they're going to be, and it's going to kick off their season. So if you beat a team like UNC who has a lot of hype, this can do great things for your confidence just moving forward. So I think this is a bigger game than just what the 1-0 or 0-1 record means. It's a confidence booster for this team who might need one.
Totally agree with that. Eddie, big picture in the league. Give me two or three things that you're looking forward to the most this weekend. Forget North Carolina, Virginia Tech a second. The rest of the league. Give me two or three things that you're looking forward to.
Of course, watching the Clemson-Georgia game. I think everybody's excited about that one. That's a top-notch matchup in week one. And we'll get to see the ACC versus the SEC. And I mean, our best team versus one of their best teams. And a lot of people think that Georgia is the best team in SEC. So we'll get to see where we rank as far as everybody, as far as the other conferences. And I'm really looking forward to that matchup. A guy that I really want to see is the running back, Will Shipley, at Clemson. I mean, I watched his highlight tape, and I was very impressed with him. He's a five-star guy who I think can come out and have an immediate impact. So I'm looking forward to seeing him play. And also the Miami-Alabama game. I mean, it's another SEC-ACC matchup that I'm excited about watching and seeing if De'Aaron King is healthy, if that knee is going to hold up in a big primetime game. And so I'm a big fan of his, and I can't wait to watch him run around and make some plays. And the addition of Charleston Rambo from Oklahoma, who I think is going to be a nice add to that offense. We'll be able to see what they can do against this stingy Alabama defense. But, I mean, De'Aaron King is a playmaker and another Heisman hopeful, so it's going to be an exciting weekend.
Be honest, Eddie. The only reason you want to watch Charleston Rambo is to see how much he can create for Mike Harley. One speed guy always wants to watch another speed guy, right? I mean, you're going to talk about Charleston Rambo just hoping he drags guys downfield for Harley to cut, right?
Of course, Harley. I mean, he's the leader coming back on that team. He's a very good receiver, and yeah, you always need that guy to clear it out for you.
Well, listen, we look forward to having you on the show a bunch. And when you're in the neighborhood, come on by, man. We got plenty of room for you down here in the basement.
You miss it, Eddie?
A little bit. I mean, being around it more, it does make me miss it. And seeing that intro at Lane Stadium does make me want to get out there and play a little bit. So, yeah, I guess you could say I miss it.
It's always in the DNA. When you're a player, it's always in the DNA.
Look at this. Oh, no, not the Cavaliers. We sure. Oh, Eddie, cutting up Virginia? Come on now. Really? We're going to get caught.
That video is looking a little grainy, guys. It's aging me a little bit, man.
Hey, I don't know. Hey, but that might be a game Herzlick played in. He may want to have a word with you about that.
We did beat up one of those guys a little bit.
Eddie, take care. Great to have you with us, and welcome to ACC Network, okay?
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, cast of thousands. Tomorrow, we are out of here. We will be in Raleigh, North Carolina, starting the festivities.
That's my last spot in the basement this week.
That's right.
Raleigh tomorrow, Pittsburgh Friday.
And we will be here Monday, though. Labor Day, a lot of folks have the day off. We are working.
We're here.
Yeah, we're working.
Here
we're here.
We're going to, and don't forget, wide receiver U starts tomorrow night. We'll give you a reminder tomorrow now. It's on you guys. Hashtag WRU, player, time of the game, that kind of thing.
Offense, defense, doesn't matter.
All right, that's it. Looking for great catches. Yep. Wide receiver U. Tuesday is when we'll do the nominees because we've got to let Monday night play out
that's
with Ole Miss and Louisville.
Exactly right.
All right. We decided to start accounting today. We being them. So here is my first version of accounting. By the way, the early feedback on social media has been very quiet.
Well, you know why? Because this is just nothing more than laying the foundation. Oh, yeah. Nobody's seen anybody play yet.
Clemson, Carolina, Miami, NC State, my top four. Pitt, BC, Virginia Tech, Virginia, Louisville, Wake, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Duke, Syracuse. That's mine.
All right.
How'd I do? Okay.
You and I are in the same neighborhood on this one. Again, Tom Luganville had Pitt 4, State 5.
Yeah. Right?
That's why we asked him that question.
About that,
Here is my list, pretty similar to Wes's. Clemson 1, North Carolina 2, Miami 3. I think those would be the three that everybody, for the most part, would agree on in any particular order. NC State 4. I've got BC 5. I'm buying Jeff Hafley. I think Pitt's going to be good, too. They're at 6. Virginia Tech always seemingly connected to hip. They're 7-8. I've got Dave Clawson and the Swiss up there at 9.
Yep.
Number 10, Florida State. Think they're going to be better than they were a year ago. We'll find out how much better. I've got the team of mystery. That would be Louisville if you're not paying attention.
Team of mystery.
At 11, Georgia Tech is 12. Duke is 13. Syracuse is 14. No Sweet 16 this year. We had 15 teams last year. We have the balance of 7 on the left and 7 on the right. So 14 it is.
All right. We encourage fans every week to submit accounting. And some of you have elected to join us in the preseason.
We appreciate that.
Bless your hearts. Yep. We're
making
glad to
effort.
Have you. Let's go Bill Bradley.
Bill Bradley.
Not that Bill Bradley.
Let's hope not.
He's got Clemson 1, Carolina 2, Miami 3, BC 4, NC State, then goes Wake, Louisville, Georgia Tech 8,
wow,
Pittsburgh 9. Virginia Tech, Florida State, Duke, Syracuse.
Interesting. The 9 spot for Pitt.
How about the 8 for Georgia Tech?
Yeah. But, you know, listen, you pointed out the schedule, right? The schedule is an absolute doozy in the ATL. But,
yeah.
Again, there's no reason to be critical on these because
nope.
Nobody has seen anyone play yet.
And
so
you know what?
Nothing wrong with that.
Hey, Bill, we're marking the tape.
So uh-oh.
You're in the game.
Mark the tape.
You're in the game. All these guys are in the game. Mark Falzone next. Mark, I hope I pronounced that right. Clemson 1, Carolina 2, Miami 3, Hokies 4.
Hokie high.
Pitt 5, BC 6, Louisville 7, Wake, NC State 9, Virginia, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Duke, Syracuse.
Well, I will say this. If Mark, again, I don't know, but if Mark is a Virginia Tech fan, I'm surprised he has Virginia that high. That's the way I look at it.
I just knew that was coming.
I don't know.
If you're a Virginia Tech fan, why is Virginia
why
so
why would
high?
You even put them 10? Put them 14 where they belong if you're a Hokie fan. Yeah.
Okay.
Virginia, I don't know about us at 4 yet. We'll find out Friday night, but I guarantee you Virginia's 14th.
All right.
Right?
If you've been with us for any of the 450 previous shows,
450,
you know that one of our longtime listeners is Robin the Duke fan.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute, but don't even put it up there yet because I haven't seen it. I'm going to ask you, have you seen it? If you've seen it, tell me yet. Be honest.
Okay.
You've seen it?
Yes.
All right. I was going to ask you the question, where will Robin the Duke fan put the mighty Blue Devils? Where do you think he's going to put?
What about Carolina? Where do you think he puts Carolina?
I'm sensing the heels are 15th if he could do it. So I don't even have any idea where Robin's going to put his boys. Because Duke's been pretty consistent with everybody who's at least put one out yet. So let me see this. Oh, he went Sweet 16 on us. Oh,
Clemson, Miami, world famous Tar Heels.
Wow.
Virginia.
Hey, is that misspelled, by the way, from Robin?
I think it probably has been cleaned up by the
as much. There's
folks
no way
in Bristol.
He said that.
Not world famous Tar Heels. I don't think so.
No.
Virginia Tech, Louisville, NC State, Boston College, Pitt is his first 8. 9 is Wake Forest. 10 is Virginia. 11, Georgia Tech. 12, Florida State. 13 is your team pack.
The Mighty Blue Devils.
Mighty Blue Devils. Then his dogs are 14 ahead of Syracuse.
Wow.
And then my cat is 16.
Oh, that's kind of disrespectful.
Well, you know, part mountain lion.
It is that.
So there you go.
Robin the Duke fan going old school Sweet 16.
Always use the hashtag ACC Network or at ACC Network to tag hashtag accounting. ACCOUNTING. You can tag Mark and I if you like as well. So you got some homework there. You got accounting and wide receiver U.
It will be interesting 2-3 weeks down the road when we look back at our original foundation of what we thought, because I assure you it will be wrong. And we look back 3 weeks from now and figure out, all right, who's really made the adjustment, right?
Yeah.
Who's gotten off to a good start? Who's looked better than we thought? Who's stumbled out of the gate? Because there's going to be answers to all of these. So that's why accounting's so much fun, because, you know, it's just an exercise in futility, quite frankly. And we get to prove that each and every week here on the show. It's tremendous.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Get a good look.
Yep.
It's going to be different tomorrow. We're in the elements, like the Open Championship.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't rain, actually. I don't think it is. It's not.
It doesn't
rain.
Matter. You know what? When the wind blows, it doesn't matter. My hair looks awful every day. I don't spend 2 seconds on it.
Yeah.
I know you find that hard to believe.
Thanks to all the folks, by the way, that have offered us to stop by post-show, all that, in Raleigh.
Man, the fetus, too. I
mean, yeah, we got.
We're missing out on the tailgate scene.
Steve Young has sent a text in. Insufferable NC State fan by his own. I'm insufferable, it says. Steve's invited us for Bojangles, Krispy Kreme, ice cream in the RV lot.
You know, I got to go see the doctor right after this show. I swear I do. And I'm already prepared for it. Well, you know, Mark, your diet, we're going to have to work on that. And I'm like, yeah, guess what, big man? I'm going to Raleigh tomorrow. I'm going to Lexington Barbecue tonight and Raleigh for tailgating tomorrow. Right, so whatever you're telling me is going in this year and right out this
year. There we go. Okay.
Let's bring her on.
Just like the COVID. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the long-awaited season debut. Fine. We don't know how many times we're going to get to talk to the coveted invite this year.
She's going uptown,
she's,
man.
Georgian Wheezy. She's moved on up.
Uptown.
She's going to the high rise in the sky. Katie George. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. You know, you started this whole coveted invite thing, right? And so I think, given your now stature, we may have to change coveted invite and turn it into 12 carat. We go 12 carat with you moving forward. Is that good with you or not?
No, that is not good with me. Stop telling lies on social media.
What are you talking about? Is it 14, 16? What are we, is it even, was I low?
Yes, jump in. Save
I don't
me.
Think it, I don't think it's 12 carats, Pac.
It's strong. I know that much. Listen, before we get to any football, I am so happy for you because this season for all of us as college football fans is one thing, and I know how much you love it and you do a great job, but you know what? At the end of this football season, man, life is going to change for you like nobody's business, and I could not be happier for you. Seriously.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I really appreciate it. We're really excited. We're like under 5 months at this point, so I told him – all decisions now will be made by him because I'm solely focused on football. So who knows what I'll be walking into on our wedding day.
We have some lovely Packer and Durham coasters we're going to send for your wedding gift.
Can't find those.
That's perfect.
Can't find those online.
It's our pleasure.
We've been trying to figure out party favors. Now we know. Thank you very much.
They're very exclusive.
Yeah, you can't find those.
All right, let's talk about Tallahassee Sunday night. You'll be with Joe Tessitore, Greg McElroy, right there, prime time. Here's the idea. We've all had the Mike Norvell quarterback conversation this week. In your mind, beyond that quarterback spot, what's the next biggest storyline in your mind about Florida State?
I think defensively, can they pressure the quarterback? My goodness, they were terrible at that last season. I think defensive ends combined for 3 sacks in 9 games, and the total for the team was 9 or 10 sacks, which put them worst in the league, I believe. You know, they went to the transfer portal. I think this is going to be a really good example for other teams of, hey, can you bring in a ton of transfers and try to patch the holes that you feel like you have and bring them along quick enough to make an impact right out of the gate, right? So they've got Jamie Robinson in the back. They've got Keir Thomas on one side, Jermaine Johnson out of Georgia coming in, who's going to face a true freshman in Blake Fisher for Notre Dame. I'm really excited to see if Adam Fuller has got these guys in the right mindset in terms of being aggressive, putting pressure on Jack Cohn, trying to stop the run game in Kyron Williams, and then a guy in Chris Tyree behind him. I think, obviously, as you guys know, Notre Dame has a potent offense, especially in the run game. And so their defense is going to have to be really, really good. Of course, the biggest storyline is who's going to play quarterback. But after that, I think it falls on the defense's shoulders for this game.
Katie, you know, being this on the sidelines, you're always looking for cool storylines. There's so many here before you ever get started. I mean, Mackenzie Milton is a miracle, quite frankly. You throw in the passing of the legendary Bobby Bowden. I mean, it's going to be an amazingly emotional scene Sunday night in Tallahassee.
Yeah, it really is. And to your point, there's so many storylines. You almost get inundated, right? Of, gosh, what's most important? What are the stories that I want to tell? Because there are so many. And I had a chance to talk to Mackenzie actually on Monday just about, you know, his journey, just checking in with him. Of course, he didn't give me any indication if he had already been named the starter or if Jordan Travis was named the starter, if they even have that answer yet from their head coach. But, you know, what's interesting is Dr. Bruce Levy, who was his surgeon at the Mayo Clinic up in Minnesota, he's going to be on the sidelines in a Florida State polo watching this guy. And I asked him, what does that mean to have that support? Obviously, his family is going to be in the stands, which they've been there since day one. You know, but Dr. Levy came in and never told him no, never said, I think this is too much, or I think you're pushing too hard, or your goals, they're not attainable. You know, Mackenzie said, this is a guy who just was very factual, realistic with me. He told me the rarity of my situation. He showed me the numbers, but he said, I'm not going to be the guy to tell you no. I'm not going to stand in your way. So if this is what you want, it's going to be a long and gruesome and hard road to recovery. But he said having that support from a surgeon who never told him no, which, you know, obviously, like, as doctors, you know, can be pessimistic at times. And for him not to do that to Mackenzie at one of his lowest points of his life, I think was crucial. So I love that Dr. Levy is going to be on the sidelines watching him. I think he said, this was the quote, which is just hard for me to wrap my head around. He said, given his injury and him making this return, whether he starts or he takes a snap on Sunday night at any point of the game, is like an MLB player making its MLB debut and hitting a grand slam at its first at bat and then doing it three more times, four grand slams in one game. That's how rare of a situation this is, just given the kind of injury Mackenzie went through 3 years ago.
I think that the interesting part, and you talk about the emotions of this, how about the adrenaline he'll have pumping? And then, I tell you this, Pac, we've seen strange things happen in games like this. What if he completes the first pass and it's like a post to Ontario Wilson or something like that? I mean, if he completes a big play, Notre Dame's in for an all-nighter now. I mean, it's going to be an all-nighter if Florida State hypothetically takes the kick, drives the field, and scores. Katie?
Yeah, without a doubt. And it was interesting. I asked him, have you thought about what it's going to be like if you are named the starter and you run out there with the offense for the first series? Have you thought about what it'll feel like to make your first completion? Like, yes, he went through spring ball and he went through the spring scrimmage and he played extremely well. I was down there in Tallahassee for that too. Have you thought about taking that first hit? And he said, I close my eyes and I visualize everything. I visualize that moment over and over and over again, which I don't know about you guys, but when I was playing, visualization was so key in terms of preparation for me. And I thought that it really worked. And so it's great to hear that he's been doing that. But he said, it's one thing to visualize all of these different scenarios for this night. It's another thing to go out and be able to do it and to execute. And he said, I'm ready. I've been waiting for this moment. I'm ready for this moment, which I think is huge for him.
Katie, you know, last year on ACC Network, you covered Notre Dame as an ACC member. Now you cover them back in their traditional DNA of independence, and it's a bunch of fresh faces. Brian Kelly taking his crew on the road in that environment, everything we've already talked about so far. What do you think the mindset is in South Bend?
I think there's a little unknown here and there with just filling in different guys, young guys having to step up. They've got a young receiving core that's a little untested, right, as you saw different guys go on to the league. Luckily, they have Michael Meyer, Baby Gronk, as they call him, as a tight end that I think is going to be Jack Cohn's, you know, favorite target. They luckily get back an unbelievable defense that's led by Kyle Hamilton. But the expectation is the same, right? They expect to get back to a college football playoff scenario, and they expect to vie for a national title and win one. Now, is Jack Cohn the kind of quarterback that can help them do that? I can't wait to see him play on Sunday to see where he's at with his game. He certainly has pieces around him to be able to do that, and they feel confident in those pieces. They have a great defensive coordinator in Marcus Freeman. I can't wait to watch him on the sidelines, just how he handles his business, how he approaches different players. They have said unbelievable things about him. Kyle Hamilton could not sing his praises more so when I spoke to him last night. Kyle Hamilton also said Brian Kelly has been playing Florida State's chant as they come in, right? As they come through the tunnel out onto the field, over and over and over. And he said, I am so annoyed by that song. Like, I want to beat them even more. So just because Brian Kelly has been playing that time and time again, just preparing them for this kind of moment.
Let me tell you this. Kyle Hamilton he could very well be the Thorpe winner on Sunday night. I mean, the guy is an amazing player, Katie. I mean, he makes so many plays for Notre Dame. When he got banged up last year, that was really the first time we saw any kind of dent in their defense. He's got to take on so much of a load now with this rebuild job that Marcus Freeman's doing, though, right?
Yeah, he does. And I believe that the entire defense is built around him, and as it should be, right? Just based on the way that he can move all over the field. He can do so many different things. I mean, he's essentially a unicorn at his position, given his size, his athleticism, his range, his ability to cover in man-to-man situations. Marcus Freeman said his body is beautiful, which he felt weird describing a player like that, but it is, because it's so unique. And my goodness, you want to talk about somebody who's just an incredible athlete, an incredible football player. He's brilliant. I mean, I spoke to him last night. He is so impressive and so enjoyable to chat with and just get to know a little bit further of what makes him tick. And he's got a great family support system. And, you know, he said, I don't write down specific goals in terms of, you know, I don't want to be a top five pick. That's not what I'm writing down. I don't want to be a top 10 pick. That's not what I'm focused on right now. He said, I'm just focused on being present in the here and now for this team, which I think resonates with his teammates on his defense, right? He's not focused on me and what's next. He's focused on how can I be at my best to help the guys around me and to help this defense. And to your point, Wes, you know, with the ankle injury, he still led the team in tackles last year, and he was really banged up. I mean, he persevered through that for the entire season, right? And to be able to still play at that level while also having an ailment where you're not 100% is pretty remarkable. So the fact that he is 100%, he's feeling great, he is in this new system with Marcus Freeman, I think it's going to look a lot like we've seen from Notre Dame, especially during the days with Clark Lee, because they did find success. But I think you're going to see Freeman tweak a couple things, and they're going to keep that aggressive mentality because they've got a guy like Kyle Hamilton leading that charge.
All right, switching gears. Give me the pros and cons of Tuffy while you visit NC State.
Yeah.
Pros and cons.
Pros, super cute. Didn't lick a lot, which I prefer. Like, I don't like when dogs are licking all over you. Cons, uninterested. Could not be bothered by Eric and I. Like, didn't want any part in playing fetch, running routes with us.
There's the answer. There's the answer.
He was uninterested by me and Eric, which I thought was a little disappointing because we had all these ideas for what our segment would be. And then, as you see, we're just sitting there with him. I wanted more pizzazz. And to be fair, his owners did tell me he is a puppy. He's young. So this is all new to him. Maybe as he matures, he'll be more invested in having fun.
All right. Appreciate that intel. That's very important to know.
I got one thing here.
Go ahead.
Katie talked about some visualizations earlier. You know, Mackenzie Milton kind of visualizing things.
I do that every show.
Do you? Well, I think we were able to find out. Katie used to do some visualizations too, apparently, at Louisville. I think we got some exclusive video of how that worked out on the field here real quick. Actually, on the court, this would be some of the visualizations, right?
It's player of the year right there.
Player of the year. That's the visualization, right? Yeah. Oh, no. Well, there's Tuffy, so we got that too. Sorry.
Always visualizing conversations with the ref at the up ref stand. How are those gonna go? Am I gonna say? How can I push it right to the brink where I know, okay, now I need to start backpedaling and I need to turn away? Like, How do I get inside their head? Those conversations were important.
Let me ask you this. Do Tessitore and McElroy have any idea about the visualizations and getting in the head and being right there on the edge that you bring to the table?
I have no idea. I hope not quite yet.
I have one more question. I have one more question for you. Totally different. You know, we have our true-false segment that we'll bring up about once every couple of weeks. Mm. I have a true-false question for you, Katie. Would you like to participate?
Okay.
Look at that ring. Did you see that ring? Okay. It almost canceled out the blur on the camera.
No.
The ring's important here. Right. I want to know this. True or false that the Milwaukee Bucks contacted you to find out diamond size while they designed their world championship rings? True or false?
False. I did not get contacted.
Okay. All right.
That wasn't the pleasant Kentucky gal that I know and love right there. That had a little like personal, hey, excuse me, do you know who you're talking to kind of attitude.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
No, I'm thrilled for those guys, that staff, that organization. I did get multiple texts
very nice.
In the days after that said, you could have had a ring if you had stuck around.
Wow. I could have had another ring.
Hey, you know what you said to them back? Here's what you say back to Milwaukee. I did get a ring.
Not a ring.
Hello. That's what you tell them. Yeah. Man, glad you won your first one in 100 years, but look at what I got. Yeah. That's what I'd have done.
And you know what else you could have said, Katie?
What's that?
When the flag is flying, Kentuckiana's bombing.
We've upgraded.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, we have upgraded from that. If that doesn't have BMW Mercedes on it, we're not taking any more calls, baby. That's how we're rolling.
Katie George.
Congratulations on all your success. We are thrilled for you. We really are.
Maybe at some point you can carve out some time to come back and be on the show.
Oh, I will always answer the call.
All right.
You will always be the coveted invite.
That's exactly right. Nobody replaces the coveted invite.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Little on this date for you here in our final segment. Let's see. 5 years ago, on a Thursday night, at Cardinal Stadium in Louisville, a second-year quarterback of the Louisville Cardinals set college football on fire with 8 touchdowns in the first half against Charlotte. 8! Pack.
Living here in Charlotte, I remember seeing that score going, yikes, I can't. That's got to be a typo, right?
Yep.
Wrong. Oh, Lamar Jackson, that was just the start of what was an unbelievable run.
Yep.
And goodness gracious. And again, Charlotte was just getting the program off the ground, and Louisville was about ready to make their presence known. That was a really remarkable year for not only Lamar, but also Louisville. And I go back to that unbelievable Clemson-Louisville game in Death Valley. You know, Lamar jumping over Syracuse with the leap. I mean, it's just a crazy, crazy year. But, man, he's gone on to be a pretty good player now. Figured he knew what he was doing, right?
Tell the truth, right?
I also remember that year we went to a Clemson football game, and they're playing Florida State. College game day was there. And that was an early kick. And I remember sitting in Death Valley, and they were running through scores and all that stuff, and the Florida State-Louisville score popped up. And I remember sitting there going, goodness gracious.
Is 50 that, some?
What was that? Can we scroll back there? I mean, I don't need to see the Temple New Hampshire score. Get that Louisville FSU thing back. Sure enough. I mean, that was just one of those years where they were dynamic. And you always wonder about the if game. What if Louisville would have held on and knocked off Deshaun Watson and Clemson that night? It would have been Louisville in the ACC title game, not Clemson. Oh, by the way, the Tigers that year won the national championship. So, I mean, you'll always wonder about one game, if this play, that play. But, man, was he awesome to watch.
Yeah, there's some moments in ACC football history. And of the last 10 years, that Louisville-Clemson game.
One of the best games.
Ends up being not only one of the best games, I think it's one of the most impactful games as we look at what the ACC ultimately has become.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. The quarterback play, the environment, the back and forth of the game. Looks like Louisville's going to get blown out. Then the second half, they just take over, and you're like, man, Clemson's in a lot of trouble. Who's going to make a play? What a game. Great game.
Hey, we're excited to be in Raleigh tomorrow at 7 a.m. Boo Cargan, NC State's athletics director, will be by. That's always fun. Dave Doran on game day. Probably against his better judgment.
Should I pack the pancake syrup in the bag?
Bring that tomorrow? I think they got some there we can get
our
hands on.
Bring some pancakes to us tomorrow morning. That'd
maybe
be nice.
So.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.